Chapter 6. Mirror's hand burst with light. Long tendrils of energy exploded out of his fingertips and crashed into Puck's chest. The boy's sword fell from his hand, and he was shot backward several yards.
"Stop it!"
Sabrina demanded. Puck slowly stood up, and a weak smile came to his face.
"Your joy buzzer doesn't hurt that much."
Mirror shook his head and shocked Puck again, with similar results.
"The three of you are becoming tiresome. I know you are upset with what I did, but as the saying goes, desperate times call for desperate measures. I've been trapped in the Hall of Wonders for hundreds of years as the slave of others, including your family. I had nearly given up hope of ever having my freedom, but I saw an opportunity, and I took it. If you had been locked in a prison with no hope of ever being free, you would do drastic things in order to escape, too."
Sabrina rushed to Puck's side.
"I wouldn't kidnap someone's parents and force their children into an orphanage. I wouldn't steal an innocent child from his family and involve him in a twisted plan to take his body."
She tried to keep Puck lying down, but he stood again.
"Is that all you got?"
Mirror ignored him.
"Starfish, my deception gave me no joy. If I could have taken another child, I would have. But your family is the only human family I've had contact with in decades. When I heard that your mother was pregnant, I knew I had to act."
"So we were easy prey?" Daphne asked.
Mirror frowned and lowered his hands. The power in them faded, and his anger seemed to go with it.
"You can't understand, and I don't have time to argue about it. The editor is probably preparing to revise this story as we speak."
Just then, there was a horrible scream from behind Sabrina. She turned to find a mob of people rushing in her direction.
"They're coming!" someone cried. "Run for your lives!"
The crowd stampeded through the courtyard, while a few desperate knights struggled to raise the drawbridge. King Arthur passed by Sabrina in the crowd, his magical sword Excalibur raised and ready.
"What's going on?"
Sabrina said, keeping one eye on Mirror.
"The editor hath sent his filthy creatures upon us," he said.
"Revisers," Mirror said.
For the first time in her life, Sabrina could see fear in the little man's face. There was a terrible crunch, and when Sabrina turned around, she saw that the drawbridge had come crashing down. A wave of pink revisers scurried on tiny limbs into the courtyard. Arthur and his knights raced to fight them back, slashing desperately with their swords. Mirror disappeared in the bustle.
"If any of you want out of this story, follow us," Sabrina shouted.
With her brother in her arms, along with Daphne and Puck and their companions from Wonderland, she followed the yarn as it weaved a haphazard path through the courtyard, circling columns and doubling back around fountains until it led them into the castle itself and up to a long flight of stairs.
"Please pick up the pace," the dodo squawked. "The revisers are nipping at our heels."
Sabrina glanced back and found that the dodo was correct. Her party had gained at least 30 knights, courtiers, and princesses, all of whom were chased by the ravenous monsters. Sabrina watched them. They bounced around like jackals, chomping on everything in their way. What they consumed vanished, only to be replaced with a white nothingness. To call it a hole wouldn't be accurate. What the monsters were doing was eliminating reality, in essence, rubbing it out of existence like an eraser. Watching it was the scariest thing Sabrina had ever seen. No wonder the dodo was panicked. They soon reached the top of the stairs and raced down a long passageway. At the end, they found the ball sputtering and rolling against a huge wooden door. Daphne tried the knob, but it was locked.
"Hey, Arthur, you have a key to this door?"
she shouted back to the king.
"I'm afraid not," the king said. "These are Sir Gawain's quarters. He has decided to stay in the story."
"I can get us through the door, but you must take me with you,"
a voice said from the back of the crowd. A small figure pushed its way to the front. It was Pinocchio.
"You!"
Sabrina cried.
"I really can get that door open," Do we have a deal?
Daphne nodded.
Do it.
Pinocchio reached into his pocket and took out a pin. He slid it into the lock and twisted and turned until it clicked.
A little trick I learned while living on the streets of Italy, he said.
He pushed the door open. In the room beyond was a second door, this one standing upright in the middle of the room. Unfortunately, Mirror was standing in front of it.
I knew we couldn't trust you, Sabrina said to the boy. I swear, I had no clue he was here, Pinocchio said.
Just wait. His nose will grow, Daphne said. It happens when he tells a lie.
Give me the boy, Sabrina,
Mirror demanded, cutting off the bickering. Sabrina shook her head and struggled with her squirming brother.
He's not yours. He belongs with us.
Mirror's face turned purple with anger. The veins in his neck popped out and his eyes grew dark.
Those creatures will be here at any moment. Once they arrive, they will devour this room and everyone in it, including the boy.
Then get out of the way and we'll leave.
They're coming, the dodo shouted. You can stand and argue all you want. Just open the door and let us through.
I agree,
Sir Lancelot shouted.
Your dispute does not involve us. Step aside and let us pass. Then we have a dilemma, Mirror said. I want the child. You want to pass. I'll let everyone through this door if one of you brings me my boy.
Hand him over, the Cheshire Cat cried. He will still be alive, as will we. What good is there in letting us all die?
Puck drew his sword, but his arm shook from the earlier blasts.
I will run through the first person who even thinks of trying.
His weakened state sapped the necessary intimidation from the threat. The first reviser scurried into the room. Its sharp little teeth chomped and gnashed. Then it sprang at Sir Lancelot. The knight fought fiercely, swinging his sword at the monster, but the reviser was fast and agile. It leaped out of the way of Lancelot's attacks until it sank its teeth into the man's sword. A second later, the sword was gone. Three more revisers sprang into the room and jumped on Lancelot, the dodo, and King Arthur.
It's the only way to save his life, starfish,
Mirror said with open arms.
Daddy!
The boy cried. Sabrina felt faint and flushed. Her head was turning like a top. What should she do? What was the right choice?
Give him to Mirror,
a voice said. Sabrina turned, ready to throttle whoever had spoken. She was surprised to find it was Daphne. Reluctantly, Sabrina held out her brother to Mirror. She had no choice.
We will stop him. We'll have another chance, Daphne said.
I have no doubt you will try,
Mirror said as the toddler hugged him. Mirror paid little mind to his affection. He held him the way one might a sack of groceries. He opened the door and stepped into the angry wind, and then he was gone.
Clearly, that was the responsible choice, the White Rabbit said.
If Sabrina could kill someone with a look, the rabbit would have died on the spot.
Get through the door, she shouted. Every last cowardly one of you.
The crowd rushed past her and fled into the empty void of the door. Puck snatched Pinocchio by his collar.
You're sticking with me, toothpick, he said,
as the little boy fought to escape his grip. Pinocchio's hand shot into his pocket, and the fairy godmother wand came out. He flicked it, and it lit up like a firecracker. A blast came out that narrowly missed Puck's foot. Unfortunately, it hit the ball of magic yarn instead. The ball let out a little yelp, and smoke came out of it. Daphne reached down and snatched the ball.
If you busted this, you're in deep trouble.
She tried to take the magic wand from Pinocchio, but he squirmed free and jumped through the portal before anyone could stop him. At that moment, Sabrina couldn't have cared less about him.
Just go,
she said, as a tear dropped from her cheek. She followed the others through the door. The last thing Sabrina saw was the gnashing teeth of the revisers. Sabrina found herself inside a tiny horse-drawn coach packed to its roof with children. Her group's sudden appearance triggered a massive groan from the already crowded kids as they were shoved violently into smaller and tighter corners of the coach. Sabrina had never had claustrophobia before, but at that moment she felt trapped and unable to breathe.
"Sabrina!"
Daphne's voice cried out from somewhere in the mob.
"I'm here!"
Sabrina said, choking. She tried to turn, but dozens of bodies were pressing against her. It felt like being locked inside a coffin or buried alive. She could feel panic coming on like a typhoon, and her stomach was swirling uncomfortably.
"Stay calm," she told herself.
"Where are we?"
the Cheshire Cat said, shoving the crowd for a little space. His efforts tumbled the children back and forth.
"And where's Pinocchio?"
Daphne asked.
"I see him," Puck said from somewhere behind Sabrina. "He's outside the coach, near the driver."
Sabrina pushed against the mob of children and peered between the bars separating the coach from the front of the vehicle. She spotted a short, fat tub of a man who was wider than he was tall, sitting with his back to her. His appearance was almost inhuman, more like a drawing of how a person might look than an actual person. The strange driver rode atop a buckboard and steered a team of skinny donkeys. Sitting next to him was Pinocchio.
"What story are we in?"
Sabrina called out to him.
"Mine,"
Pinocchio said. The smile on his face was not reassuring.
"Uh-oh,"
Daphne said.
"I have to get out of here,"
Sabrina said, as she pulled on the bars that lined the coach. She fought desperately, letting out a terrified scream, and then everything turned a milky gray and flashed black. When she woke, she saw her sister above her and a crowd of concerned faces gathered around. She was no longer in the coach. She was lying on a cold, cobblestone street.
"What happened?"
she said, trying to sit up. Her eyes felt like they were rolling in their sockets, so she lay back down for a moment.
"You fainted,"
Daphne said.
"Where's Pinocchio?"
she asked. Daphne pointed down the street toward a little town. She saw a banner that read, "Welcome to Toyland." Sabrina craned her neck for a better view and saw a bizarre little town lined with multicolored houses and streets littered with discarded toys. Everywhere she looked, there were children running and playing without a care in the world. The biggest house on the street was under attack by an army of children dressed in tinfoil armor. A boy dressed in a king's robes and a cardboard crown stood on the roof, waving a paper sword and laughing at the approaching army. His soldiers below him were pelting them with water balloons and eggs.
"Just rest," Daphne said.
Sabrina forced herself to her feet.
"We can't. We have to turn him over to the editor."
Daphne looked concerned as she took out the ball of yarn. She said Pinocchio's name into it and set it on the ground. It popped and fizzled, but would not roll forward.
"That magic wand blast must have fried it," Daphne said. "I think we should leave it alone for a while. Give it time to cool off."
Sabrina frowned and took a few deep breaths.
"Then we'll do this the old-fashioned way. We should split up. Arthur, Lancelot, Guinevere, take a few of the other knights. You're in one group. Puppy, Rabbit, Cat, Dodo, take some knights with you, too. My sister and Puck and I will stick together."
She didn't want anyone slowing them down.
"I must protest your plan," the White Rabbit said. "What if we do not find one another again? Any number of things could happen while we are here. One of us could become injured, or we could get lost. We will be trapped here."
"I couldn't care less," Sabrina said. "We're not babysitting you."
Daphne raised her hands to calm the group.
"Rabbit, you're the one with the pocket watch. Meet us back here in an hour. And everyone else, do yourself a favor and don't play with any of the kids in the town. Playing is a bad thing."
"The words you say are insane,"
Puck said.
"They come out of your mouth like regular words, but make no sense. Every kid on this island is going to turn into a donkey,"
Daphne explained, pointing to the beasts that had pulled them in the coach.
The driver will sell them all to farms, where they will be worked to death.
She's right, said a boy, who, unlike the others from the wagon, had stayed behind when the rest rushed into the town. Pinocchio gets sent to a circus to be trained as a dancing donkey. I end up on a farm where I die.
How do you know? The Cheshire Cat purred.
I'm Lampwick, his best friend.
The boy started to run off to join the other children.
Wait! Where are you going? Sabrina said. If you know you're going to die, why not turn around and go home?
The boy shook his head.
The editor would not approve.
Then join our army, Arthur said. We're traveling through the stories. Soon we'll find a door to the real world, and we'll escape for good. You could be free.
Lampwick smiled and shook his head.
And then what? I have a role here. I'm important to Pinocchio's development. When he witnesses my death as a broken-down farm animal, it has a profound effect on him. Without me, his efforts to become a good boy might never occur. Even though I have a small part in his life, I'm essential to its direction.
You're a fool, the dodo said.
I'm part of his growth as a character, the boy said. It is my tragic end that makes him a better person. In any good story, the hero must experience tragedy to grow, and ultimately defeat what is destroying him. I know the story isn't called Lampwick, but I'm arguably the most important character in it.
And with that, the boy disappeared into the throng of kids.
I've heard enough of his nonsense, the white rabbit said. Come on now, let's find your Pinocchio and get out of here.
The three groups walked in different directions, and with each step, Sabrina felt more and more overcome with grief and panic. The claustrophobia came back to her tenfold, and she fell to her knees, sobbing.
Sabrina, Daphne said, trying to help her up. What did I do, Daphne? I gave him back to Mirror.
I told you to. We had no choice, Daphne said.
Sabrina ignored her.
How could I do that?
He was going to let people die, Daphne said.
What if we don't get him back?
There was silence for a long time.
We will get him back, Puck said. I will make sure of it.
Sabrina looked up into his face, fully prepared to insult the boy. But instead she saw a determination in Puck that seemed genuine. Every hint of sarcasm was gone. Even the playful gleam in his eyes had been snuffed out.
You sacrificed him for us all, including me. I will repay that debt. No harm will come to your brother. The Trickster King makes this vow.
You're not alone here, Sabrina, Daphne added. We're here. We're a team. And we all would have done the same thing. You heard the editor. Mirror's story is off limits. He can't get into it. So whatever he has planned for Carmine can't be done anyway.
Carmine? Puck said.
Daphne rolled her eyes.
Fine. Baby X is his name. Are you too happy?
Sabrina couldn't help but laugh.
Baby X is worse than Carmine.
Daphne laughed, as did Puck. It was nice to see smiles again, and Sabrina started to think things might be all right.
All right, enough of the boo-boo faces, Puck said. Let's get back to work. There will be plenty of time for personal disappointments when we get married.
It sounds charming, Sabrina said, but that's also why I would never marry you, no matter what.
Sorry, Puck chuckled. Fate has us forever intertwined.
Sabrina rolled her eyes.
Daphne, you said you've read this story. Fill us in on what we're missing. I know that eventually Pinocchio turns into a donkey. Then he gets sold to the circus. Then his owner tries to drown him in the ocean.
That's nice, Sabrina interjected.
What kind of children's story is this?
Then a fisherman catches him, I think. He might live with the blue fairy for a while. Then he gets eaten by a shark. There are lots of twists and turns. Daphne was still trying to figure out the order of the events when the puppy dog leaped out in front of them.
We found him! Come on!
The children chased after the giant dog as he weaved through the senseless maze of Toyland's streets. They faced one obstacle after another.
On one street, they had to duck back and find another path as they almost ran into a group of children playing a game to see who could shatter the biggest window in a large church. The stained glass shards came down like razor-sharp rainbows, and there was no way to pass safely. Another street had a group of children in the midst of a makeshift jousting tournament. Two children rode donkeys at each other and took turns trying to knock their opponent off with pillows. They also saw a little boy who had uncovered a can of green paint and was stalking around like a giggling idiot, drenching anyone who came within 5 feet of him. After many failed efforts, Sabrina and her family managed to find a clear path to a filthy tent. Once inside, Sabrina spotted the driver of the coach standing next to a trembling donkey. "He's selling the animals," the Cheshire Cat said when they joined him and the others in the tent.
"Disgusting practice," the White Rabbit complained.
"Pinocchio has already turned into a donkey?" Sabrina asked.
"He couldn't have. I remember the story said he was here for weeks before the change started," Daphne said.
The Cheshire Cat motioned to a dark section of the tent.
"He's over there. I can see well in the dark. He's hiding in the shadows."
"Why?" Lancelot asked.
"Pinocchio winds up in a circus, so he has to be sold. Maybe he's trying to hurry everything along," Daphne said. "He's watching for the ringmaster, and he'll stow himself away when he leaves."
"How much will you give me for this fine, strong donkey?" the fat man said. His voice was high and piercing.
"I'll take him for 25 nickels, a man said. "I can use his skin for a drum I have at home."
The donkey brayed and whimpered until the fat man snapped his whip at him.
"Do I hear more than 25 nickels?
"Does he dance?"
another man shouted from the crowd.
"Pardon?"
A man dressed in a long black coat, white pants, and black boots stood up.
"Does he dance? I have a circus in need of an act," the man replied. "If he can dance, I'll pay 50 nickels.
"You're a ringmaster, I see. You could teach him to dance in your circus," the fat man said.
"No, he must dance. I won't pay for a donkey that doesn't dance."
Suddenly, Pinocchio stepped into the light.
"He dances," he said, "like a prima ballerina. I've seen him myself."
The fat man and the ringmaster were confused.
"You must follow the actual events."
"This is my story," Pinocchio said. "Take the donkey to your circus. I will accompany you."
"Does the editor know about this?"
another man in the crowd asked. Pinocchio removed the magic wand from his pants pocket. He flicked it with his wrist, and a blue flame ignited the air.
"The editor knows what I've told him," he said.
The men were taken aback by the magic.
"Now, if you have sufficiently eaten up the oxygen in this tent with your stupid questions, can we get on with it?"
The fat man nodded.
"Take him with you, ringmaster."
The crowd stood all at once, and in the excitement, Sabrina lost sight of the little troublemaker. One moment he was standing in the center of everything, and the next he was gone.
"Find him!"
Sabrina shouted to the characters, and they all raced out of the tent. Without the magic yarn ball, they had to ask everyone they came across for help. They went from building to building, asking children if they had seen Pinocchio, but all the children were caught up in their games or were intentionally rude. Most of them stuck their tongues out at Sabrina or tried to pelt her with crab apples.
"Little kids are jerks," Sabrina said.
Hello,
Daphne said with mock offense.
"Except you," Sabrina said. "He's gone. What do we do?" "In the story, he is sold to the circus. The blue fairy shows up at one of the shows," Daphne said. "It's his chance to get her to fix the spell that turned him into a real boy."
"How are we going to find a traveling circus?" Guinevere complained.
"I don't know exactly, but the first step is getting out of this town," Daphne said. "If we stick around, we're all going to be eating hay and swatting at flies with our tails."
"She's right," Sabrina said. "He's not here anymore anyway. It's better to leave while we can." The group walked through the town gate and spotted a crude sign outside that read, "Toys are great. No more schools. Down with Ritmatic."
"Hey, where are you going?"
a girl missing a front tooth said as the group departed the town.
"It's dangerous to go into the parts of the story that aren't written. The margins are full of ghosties."
"We're running away to join the circus," Sabrina said.
She walked on, leaving behind the troubling little town and its doomed population. Soon, it was just a speck of dust on the horizon. They walked along the road for what seemed the better part of a day. By the time they decided to make a camp for the night, Sabrina was sure she would collapse from exhaustion, pain, and hunger. She realized she hadn't eaten all day. King Arthur took his men into the woods, promising to find some game for dinner. The White Rabbit insisted they not hunt any of his brothers or sisters, and the Dodo demanded that whatever they brought back not be an endangered species. Meanwhile, the rest of the Wonderland refugees trotted off in search of water and fruit. Daphne and Puck collected some firewood and stones to build a campfire. Sabrina wanted to help, but she felt beaten and ill. Her hip was throbbing, and her head felt like a demolition site. She closed her eyes, trying to block out the pain, and she must have fallen asleep, because when she opened them again, she found a wild boar roasting above a crackling fire. The sun had vanished, and the stars were like little pinpricks on a black canvas. Plus, her hunger had turned ravenous. When the boar was ready, she ate like a starving coyote and drank more than her share of the sweet water the Cheshire Cat had brought back to the camp via the knight's helmets. With her belly full and her thirst quenched, she was surprised to find that she didn't feel that much better. In fact, she was still terribly exhausted. She hobbled over to a patch of softer ground and called her sister to her side.
"I need to rest," she said apologetically. "You're in charge. Don't let them talk you into moving on. Don't let them bully you either. If you have to get Puck to turn into a dragon or something to threaten them, do it."
Sabrina wouldn't remember if Daphne agreed or not. A moment later, she fell into a sleep that was deep, dark, and dreamless. Sometime in the night, she awoke with a pain in her side. A terrible blow rocked her body. She scampered backward, only to find that she was the only one in her group who was awake. The others had settled in for the night, and the campfire was now a fading orange glow of embers. She would have thought the blow had been a dream, except for the sharp pain in her ribs. She pulled up her shirt and found a growing purple bruise. Something had struck her. She was not imagining it. She wondered if something had fallen from the tree above and hit her, but there was nothing. Perhaps some wild animal had come along and tried to take a bite, then darted off when she woke. Whatever the case, she knew that sleeping was now out of the question. She saw something move in the woods to her left, and then it appeared on the right. It was just a flash and could have easily been a trick of the light, but then there was something standing over her. It wasn't so much a person as it was the faint notion of the form of a person, mostly invisible but swirling with dust and dirt, like a tiny hurricane trapped in a human-shaped shell.
"What are you?" Sabrina asked.
"Free me," it croaked. Then, whatever it was, vanished. The morning came, and the ragtag group filled their bellies with some wild grapes and a few unidentifiable fish the cat caught in the stream. They cooked them over a fresh fire, and then they picked up their search for Pinocchio.
"You've been quiet all morning," Daphne told Sabrina.
Sabrina didn't want to frighten her sister with thoughts of ghosts. They had plenty of things to worry about as it was.
"I just want to find Pinocchio as soon as we can."
After nearly another whole day of walking, they came across a little town. It would have been nothing more than a place to pass through, if not for the huge sign tacked to a tree. Grand gala show. This evening, witness the troupe's usual amazing leaps and feats, performed by all its artists, and all its horses, mares, and stallions alike. Plus, appearing for the first time, the famous Donkey Pinocchio, also known as the Star of the Dance. The theater will be as bright as day. Puck stopped an old man who was hobbling down the road, powered only by his cane and stubbornness. The old man told him the theater was at the other end of the town, but not before he gave him a good swat with his cane. He apparently objected to Puck calling him Gramps. They dashed to the theater box office, but with no money they were forced to barter. Eventually, after much begging, Sabrina convinced King Arthur to part with his crown, insisting that when they got to the real world, he would no longer be royalty anyway. The crown got them all front row seats, as well as a few nickels to spend at the local grocer. Unfortunately, there wasn't enough money in the world to shut the king up about the indignity suffered. He claimed he felt naked without it, and kept worrying about having crown head. Eventually, the doors to the theater opened and the crowd entered the venue. Everyone found their seats and waited for the show to begin. Meanwhile, Sabrina, Puck, and Daphne searched the crowd for signs of Pinocchio or the Blue Fairy.
"You're sure the Blue Fairy shows up in this part of the story?" Sabrina asked her sister.
Daphne nodded.
"If he's going to make his move, it will be tonight."
"I have a few ideas I'd like to run past you about how we plan to stop him," Puck said. "First, I was thinking I could clobber him with a chair. It happens all the time on television and seems fairly effective."
"Let's just try to grab him without smashing furniture over his head," Sabrina said.
Several horns played a happy tune, and the audience applauded. The ringmaster came out dressed in a long black jacket, white pants, and knee-high black boots. He bowed deeply. In the blazing theater lights, he looked bewildered, almost frightened. He reminded Sabrina of Mikey Biederman, a budding actor in her second-grade class. During her school's production of Little Shop of Horrors, he had forgotten what he was supposed to say. A teacher had attempted to whisper the line to him, but he was so embarrassed he burst into tears and ran backstage, refusing to return for the rest of the play. Unfortunately, Mikey was playing the part of the man-eating plant and was crucial to the next two acts. The ringmaster had the same lost expression on his face.
"Ladies and gentlemen, I'm afraid the act advertised tonight featuring Pinocchio, the dancing donkey, has been canceled. Instead, I offer you the amazing Russian Stallion Brigade."
Several white stallions trotted on stage, led by two beautiful identical twins. They marched the stallions to one end of the stage, then the other. The audience murmured until a little boy stood up and cried,
"That's not how the story goes. Bring out Pinocchio!"
The audience cheered their approval.
"I can't," the ringmaster said. "Pinocchio is changing the story. He has not become a donkey. He threatened me."
"Where is he?"
Sabrina said, jumping to her feet.
"There,"
the man said, pointing at a seat in the upper deck. Sabrina craned her neck to see a woman with bright blue hair being led out of her seat by a young boy. The boy had a magic wand in his hand that glowed like fire. The crowd cried out in surprise.
"He's got the Blue Fairy!"
Sabrina shouted to her friends, and they all rushed out of the tent and into the street. There they found Pinocchio glowering at the Blue Fairy.
"Stay out of this," Pinocchio said as the group approached.
"We're not going to let you do this, puppet boy," Daphne said. "I wasn't a puppet. I was a marionette."
"Pinocchio, what on earth has gotten into you? I'm like your mother in this story,"
the Blue Fairy said.
"My mother? I suffered greatly, and you didn't lift a finger to help. I was turned into a donkey. I spent a week in the belly of a shark. Two murderers tried to hang me from a tree outside your house. A man tried to drown me. What did you do, oh mother dear? Nothing. You're the most powerful ever after of them all, and you did nothing."
I understand your anger, the fairy said, but it is misdirected. I am a storybook portrait of the Blue Fairy. The real Blue Fairy is somewhere in the real world. Whatever your intentions are with me, they will not satisfy your need for revenge. I have no idea why my real-life counterpart chose to behave the way she did, but there must be a reason. Perhaps you should go to her for answers. No! She will feed me the same mumbo-jumbo she always has, and will continue to deny me. The Book of Ever After is my only hope. Its power is at my disposal, as are you, Pinocchio said. I want to be a man.
Puck stepped forward, and Pinocchio turned his wand on him.
You stay back, you filthy street urchin. I have suffered long enough. I will have my wish.
Puck looked back at the group of people with him.
There's a lot of us, and only one of you.
I'll shoot you with this, I swear, he said,
his hand trembling with nerves.
I went easy on you before, fairy.
Sabrina and Daphne joined Puck.
He's right. You could manage to get off one shot, maybe two, but you can't hit us all. You don't know the fairy godmother wand that well. You've gotten lucky, Daphne added.
Soon, Arthur, the knights, and the Wonderland group were standing right behind the children.
I warned you,
Pinocchio said, flicking the wand. A bolt of energy burst from it and hit Sir Galahad in the chest. There was a pop, a puff of smoke, and then Galahad turned into a turtle.
I think I know this wand well enough.
Pinocchio looked smug.
Get him!
Puck shouted, and the crowd rushed at Pinocchio. There were more explosions from the wand, but soon someone snatched it out of the little boy's hands, and he was defenseless. He screamed, cursed, and threatened, but when the dust settled, he was on the ground with his hands behind his back. Sabrina had never seen anyone so angry in her life.
How dare you!
He shouted.
I have a right to live like a normal person. I have a right to grow up.
Sabrina stood over him as Daphne sat on his back.
I might have thought the same thing once, but you betrayed us. You were our friend and you sold us out to Mirror. Don't tell me what you are owed. Whatever the editor chooses to do with you is exactly what you deserve. Hey, editor! We've got him!
Just then a door materialized from thin air, and it swung open. Standing in a brilliant light was the editor.
Good news, boss. We stopped the puppet, Daphne said.
These characters do not belong in this story, the editor said coolly.
They followed us, Sabrina said.
They will have to go back.
Suddenly Arthur drew his sword and charged at the editor. The skinny old man fell backward, and the king raced through the doorway after him. The rest of his ragtag army followed. Puck pulled Pinocchio to his feet, and they chased the group through the door to the library, trying to convince everyone to stay calm.
So, you are the vile monster who torments us, Arthur shouted at the editor.
Murder was in his eyes.
Stay away from me, the editor demanded. Women and children, shield your eyes, Arthur commanded. Blood will soon spill from this man's veins.